Yeah, we're going to, real quick before I jump into the word this morning, our youth are leaving for retreat today. So, yeah, they're heading out for summer retreat. Hey, can we give our hand to our youth? Can we do that real quick? So what I wanted to do this morning, I felt like it would be appropriate for us to pray over our teenagers and especially pray for our youth leaders who are going. Settle down, Milligan child. I got the mic. We're on this. All right. Hey, can we pray over our youth this morning? And where are the youth leaders that are going? Just raise your hand. May the Lord have mercy on your souls. And Pastor Vinny's leading the charge. It's going to be a great time. So, Pastor Vinny, what are we believing for these guys? Amen. Unity. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for our teenagers. I thank you that they trust you more than they trust anything else. Father, I thank you that during these next few days, their relationship with you is going to be challenged, it's going to be awakened, it's going to be deepened, and that they're going to know you unlike any way they've ever known you before. I pray for just a deep revelation. I thank you, God, that in all these students that are going, that you're going to wake within them dreams and visions, that you're going to unlock within them desires for the future, that you're going to give them a glimpse of purpose. And Father, that they're going to walk with a new level of conviction of knowing you. Father, I pray for prophetic revelation to happen while these guys are away. And that Holy Spirit, you would move. And that any device that the enemy has sent an assignment against this time, we arrest it in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that they're going to travel safely, that they're going to arrive safely, they're going to come home safely, and that they will be protected. No wicked thing can harm them. And Father, we just declare that your plan and purpose be set in motion in the lives of these students over these next few days in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for our leaders. I thank you for the youth leaders. I thank you, God, that they will be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will prophesy, that they will speak, that they will be able to have supernatural wisdom, and that they would see the treasure in every student, and that they would help contribute to the process of mining the field to bring out kingdom purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise for that and thank him? Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and turn into Scripture. We're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 today. That's going to be our kickoff point this morning. As you're turning there, I'm just going to pray over the word. Father, I thank you that the word is life. I thank you that you're not silent, but you're still speaking. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in our Amp Up series over the summer, and what we've been talking about is what it means to amp up our relationship and our spiritual walk with Jesus. That, how many of you know God is calling us to higher things? Come on, you don't sound convinced. God is calling us to new strength. Amen? That God desires for us every single day of our life to strengthen and to mature and to grow with him. And so part of what we're doing is, you know, we mentioned that, how many of you know it's good to go on vacation and it's good to relax? As a matter of fact, I just got back from vacation Friday night. Isn't it awesome to be able to relax? And in summertime, we have a tendency where we tend to lay back a little bit. How many of you know that's good? Amen? But I felt like what God was saying was he didn't want us to lay back in our relationship with him. He wanted us to amp up. And amp up literally means to strengthen a thing. Amen? So that's what I believe God is calling us to do in this season, is to strengthen. And today we're going to talk about being intentional. Say intentional. I know Andy spoke on faithfulness last week. Can we thank Andy as well for stepping in? And man, it's always good when he teaches. I tell you what, Andy, he is a talented and gifted teacher of the word. That tends to be something that's generational in their family. Their family is blessed with that. And Andy does a fantastic job. It is always great to know that whenever Karen and I aren't here, that the word is in good hands. Amen? Can we thank him one more time for last week? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore then, Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance. Say every. And an encumbrance is an unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to us and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. How many of you know this passage of Scripture is speaking about being intentional? Amen. We're going to look at it again next week. Next week we're going to talk about being focused. But today I want to talk about being intentional. You know, it's interesting. We were home visiting, and we had a couple days where we were kind of all over, driving all over the state of Florida. And for a few days toward the end, we stopped by our hometown, Daytona Beach, where we grew up. And we spent a few days there with Karen's parents and seeing, you know, my stepmother and just visiting with them. But while we were there, my stepmother, she had a chest that my dad wanted me to have. As many as you know, my dad passed away about a year and a half ago. And so she had this chest that she wanted me to have that he had been putting things inside for me to have and that she wanted me to pick up and to bring. So we load that into the, he had been intentionally placing things in it. She said there were things like as he was getting toward the end of his life, he just began to intentionally place these things inside this trunk. I thought that was so cool. You guys, if I get a little teary-eyed, you'll be okay, right? You'll survive? Okay. So we loaded it up, and she asked me, she goes, is there anything else from your dad that you wanted? Anything else? And I thought, and I thought, and then something kind of rose up inside of me. It was like, well, ask for his watch. And I was afraid to ask for it. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to ask for it. I didn't want to, I just felt like, for some reason, something in me, it felt very forward to ask for it because, you know, she was married to him for over 30 years. And does that make sense to you guys? You know, but something inside me said, ask for his watch. And I did. And I kept trying to give it back, and she was like, "No, take it." And so I've been thinking. I've actually got it on my wrist today. Hold on, I'm gonna take it off. I'm gonna tell you something right now. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The it's almost like when he stopped, it stopped. You know. So, you know, it was interesting. I kept thinking. You know, I had a 17-hour drive back from Florida here, and I kept thinking, why did I ask for this? What was it about? It's not even, I'm not being mean, it's not even a nice watch. It wasn't expensive because he ruined them. He worked hard, so he sweat in them a lot. Like, you can, if you were to hold it, you would even see that the band, the gold, is worn off on it. And, you know, it's not particularly valuable. There's nothing about this that's going to make me wealthy. And I kept asking myself, why did I ask for this thing? What was it in me that I felt like I just needed to have it? And then as I was praying about it, something just kind of dawned on me as I came in Saturday morning and I came into the church for just a little bit to prepare for today. And as I was looking at it, it was like, you know, because this was a mark of his intentionality. How many of you know time is very limited? You get so many travels of a hand clock in your lifetime. Is this okay? There's only so many times your watch is going to go around the face. And everywhere he went, he lived by this thing. He would ask himself, what's important? What matters? Amen? And he always had this watch on. So as I've been praying about it, I realized what I feel like the Lord was saying to me. He goes, the reason why you asked for it, because it was a reminder of how intentional he was with his life. how purposeful he was with his life. How he recognized that there is only so many hours in a day. And that we can't give ourselves to things that don't matter. We have to be intentional with the things and the purposes and the responsibilities that God has given to us in this moment. We don't have time to waste time. You okay? And so, as I look at it, I mean, he wore this for years. And as I look at it, I'm reminded of purpose. See, the thing I wanted from it was to connect with the purpose it represented. A life lived on purpose, not by accident. How many of you know too many of us are living our lives on accident? And not enough of us are living our lives on purpose. And in order to live our lives with purpose, you have to live your life with intention. You okay today? See, when I live, hold on one second, I'm just going to put this on so I don't lose it. Don't worry, I'm not going to make a habit of wearing it. I only put it on today so I could use it for, because it's useless. It doesn't tell time anymore. See, many unhealthy habits, incorrect actions, incorrect thinking stem from a lack of awareness of the importance of being intentional. Can I say that again? Many unhealthy habits, many incorrect actions, many incorrect thoughts, processes, and systems stem from a lack of awareness of the importance of being intentional. How many of you know we'll fall into bad, unhealthy, sinful habits if we're not being intentional with our life? How many of you ever heard the phrase idle hands? Anybody? Some students are looking at me like, huh? I never heard that. It's something old people used to say. Idle hands are the devil's handiwork. Or the devil's workshop, right? Idle hands, right? How many of you have heard that? Understand what I'm talking about, right? That goes along with the phrase, nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night, right? That's another thing my dad used to say to me. He'd say, you know, I'd be in high school, hey, what time are you getting home? I'll be home about midnight. Nothing good happens after 11 o'clock at night. You'll be home by 11. No, I'll be home at midnight. Ain't nothing good going to happen. That's all he would say. He'd walk, ain't nothing good going to happen. Right, but you know, how many of you know that too often we begin to live by accident? We start living without purpose. We just live, and the next thing you know, we start developing, quite frankly, which are unhealthy things in our life. Unhealthy habits because we haven't spent the time focusing on the things that God desires for us to focus on with intention. See, there's only so many hours in a day. There's so many trips around the sun you get. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to use that lack of attention to purpose to distract us and get us caught in sinful habits, sinful behaviors. How many of you know when we talk about sin, I'm talking about missing the mark. See, sin is actually an archery term. It literally means to miss the mark. So when people talk about sinning, how many of you know, you could spend your whole life never doing anything wrong, but if you don't do the things God has called you to, you've missed the mark. And that is sin. You say, Pastor James, I didn't lie, I didn't cheat, I didn't steal, I wasn't a drunkard, I wasn't a drug addict, but you didn't do what God asked you to do either. And you've missed the mark. Man, the saddest thing in the world is being successful at things you were never supposed to do in the first place. What a wasted life, amen? You guys okay today? So we have to live with an urgency and an expectation that we live intentionally. What are the things God has called us to do? What are the things that God wants us to focus on so that we would not miss the mark? So that we would not sin? You guys okay? So, Every now and then, we all tolerate things in our life that make it difficult for us to please God. Anybody ever done that before? Hey, nobody want to raise their hand on that one. Anybody doing it right now? You're more honest with that one than you were the first one. Good for you. All right. And how many of you know we'll do things that don't please God, but when we're not pleasing God, we typically aren't happy with ourselves either, are we? You ever meet somebody, they're just constantly unhappy with life? If you don't know them, maybe you are it. I hope not. But they're always unhappy with their life. You want to know why? It's because they're not living a life that pleases God. You say they may be nice people. They may not be doing anything wrong. Why are they so unhappy? Because they're missing the mark. They're not being intentional about the things that God has called them to do. Amen? See, when we do that, we please God. And then we tend to be pleased as well. Amen? See, the one reason, this is the one reason Hebrews 12:1 tells us to lay aside every weight. See, the words lay aside are taken from a Greek word that's apotithemi. I don't expect you to remember that. I didn't have time to build a slide for it. But when this word literally means, it gives the picture of somebody who is laying something down while at the same time pushing it away from them, which is what some of us need to do right before second helping at the dinner table, right? We put the fork down and we push the plate away from us. Right? But that's the image that it's giving. It's saying it's somebody that when they, can we put that scripture up there for me, guys, if you don't mind? Just go ahead and put that up there. Go to the second part. Let us strip off, throw in aside every encumbrance. So let us lay aside, let us strip off, let us throw aside. It's literally giving the picture of somebody who is not only just getting rid of it, but it's like they're putting it down and they're pushing it as far away from themselves as possible. I mean, you know, there's some things in our life where we've got to not just quit picking them up. We got to put them down and push them as far away from us as we can. It's called prioritizing. Right? This thing is a time stealer. This thing is a focus stealer. This thing is harmful to me. This sin, this habit, this thing has to get away from me because it's stopping me from being intentional with the things that God has called me to. Amen? They may not even be bad things in and of themselves. They just may not be good for you. Come on. It could be something so simple. How many of you know, like, how many of you ever have hobbies? Anybody have a hobby? How many of you know hobbies are good? Right? But when a hobby becomes an obsession and it detracts from your purpose, come on. How many of you know that thing has to be put down and pushed away as far away from possible? Amen? I'm going to get some heat from this one later. There's some guys that I've seen getting nudged in the ribs right now. Ladies, settle down. Is he working? Yes. Is he taking care of the family? Yes. Is he? Come on. Don't use this for an example to beat a man down. But there are some things in our life that we have to put down and we got to push them away, because they're robbing us of the time and intentionality that God has called us to. You okay? By the way, that's part of growing and maturing. Amen? Listen, there's nothing wrong with video games, but if you sit in your basement and you play video games 24/7, young man, you're 40 years old and you haven't moved out yet and got a job, that's a problem. You might want to put the remote control down and push it away as far as possible, because it's killing you. It's stealing your purpose, because you only get so many trips around the sun. Come on. You guys see what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing. It's just not the thing you're appointed to. And when you appoint yourself to the wrong things, you become disappointed. Amen? So intentionality, let's keep moving. So we have to put these things down, push them as far away as possible. It means we lay it down and get it beyond our reach. This word implies an intentional decision to make a permanent change of attitude and a permanent change of behavior. See, removing wrong attitudes and not wrong actions from our life, it doesn't happen by accident. Growth doesn't happen by accident. It happens by intention. We have to decide to change. We have to decide to remove. We have to decide to lay aside. And we have to decide to put away attitudes and actions that don't please God and adversely affect our walk with Him. See, Hebrews 12:1 refers to incorrect attitudes and actions, and he calls them weights. How many of you have ever tried to run with weights on? It's not fun. See, excuse me. The word weight is from the Greek word agkos. It's a word that describes a burden or something so heavy and cumbersome that it stops a runner from running his race as he should. It slows them down to the point where they become ineffective. This word was particularly used in the athletic world in the ancient day to signify the actions of an athlete who would be deliberately strip himself of excess weight before participating in a race and in a competition. And see, it was a stripping process that included the loss of excess weight through exercise, through watching with the. How many of you know our athletes get paid very well in this nation? How many of you know they don't become those athletes by accident? They're intentional about what they do. They're intentional about making sure that their bodies are fit, that they're eating the right things. They're intentional about making sure that they're exercising, they're dieting correctly, that they're not getting too big, that they're operating where they're supposed to be operating. So they do this, and then on the day of the competition, the ancient runner would nearly strip down to all, most of his clothes to make sure there was no excess weight on him. Because they had their eye on something bigger than themselves. They put themselves through the discipline to achieve the prize. You guys with me? They were getting rid of anything that might potentially stop them from becoming champion. See, how many of you have ever watched boxing before? Anybody? Okay, UFC boxing. I know I'm a bad pastor. I like these things. I like to see grown men get in a ring and hit each other. In Jesus' name. I think it's awesome. I do. I'm not allowed to watch it when Karen's in the room. So I usually wait till she falls asleep and I'm watching it and I'm sitting over there going, get it, no. And I get all amped up, my face gets red, and then I have to try to go to sleep and it doesn't work. Right? How many of you know those guys got to make weight? You ever watch a boxer try to make weight? The torture they put themselves through? The way they have to shed the weight, they'll put these things called sweatsuits on, and they ain't like the nice, plushy tracksuit you're wearing. I mean, these things are made to sweat you out so that they are dropping every bit of excess so they can make weight so they can achieve the prize. It's an intentional decision to put themselves in a position to be successful, to have the opportunity. How many of us are doing that in our spiritual life? Where we make an intentional decision to put ourselves in a position to have the opportunity to be successful. See, too many people are blaming God. They're not successful, but not enough people are putting in the intention to do what God has asked them to do to be in the position to be successful. Come on. Everybody wants the crown, but nobody wants to shed the blood. You okay? See, it takes a different level of intention for us to do that. See, this sends a strong message to us. If we want to please God, we want to live according to His purpose, we want to live a satisfied life and do something significant with our lives, we have to choose to remove anything from our lives that would hinder those objections or those objectives. The athlete of the ancient world didn't become unweighted by accident. He dropped it all on purpose. He exercised. He shed every unnecessary weight he could shed. And then the stripping process, it demanded his attention, his decision, and his devotion to follow it up. It wasn't going to happen by accident, so he had to initiate the process of removal. You hear what I'm saying this morning? In order for you to be intentional with the things that God has called you to, you're going to have to begin to say no to some things. And you might have to start saying yes to some other things. Come on. See, in order for us to amp up spiritually, sometimes the Holy Spirit brings us to a position in our life where we have to reprioritize. We have to determine what is of His purpose and what is not. And by the way, not all the things will be bad. Some of them are just time killers. Amen? Doesn't mean they're bad. Just means they don't contribute to the purpose. So there's going to be some things in our life that we're going to have to say, you know what, that thing right there, I'm going to have to put that down and push that away because it's not contributing to the intentional purpose that I want to live with. I'm going to tell you for right now, for me, I'm going to tell you one that I don't do. How many of you ever heard of this thing called Facebook? You ever heard of it? Are you familiar? All right. We're on Facebook. If I'm on Facebook, go back and look at my post. If I'm on Facebook, I either reshared somebody else something, or somebody posted, or it's about the church. That's one of those things I had to intentionally limit myself from going on. And I had to put it down and push it. Now, that may not be for all of you, but that's for me. You want to know why I did it? Does anybody want to know what Pastor deals with? Is this okay? How many want to know why I did it? Just wave at me, okay? Because every time I got on there, I got mad. Period. Every time I got on there, I got angry. Every time I got on, there was something on there that made me upset, whether it was political, whether it was spiritual, whether it was... And at some point in my life, I just started saying, you know what, this is just not contributive. This doesn't help me. And so I'd spend so much time getting wound up about something that really, quite frankly, didn't affect me. So at some point, what I have to do? Put it down. So when I go on Facebook, you know what I do now? I look for things that make me happy. I look for things in your life. Like I like say, oh, the Hammetts are on vacation. Man, look at that. That's a great picture of them. They're celebrating their kids. I like that. And I hit that little button that says, like. Ding. Oh, and now we can do the ones that do this. And we can do the ones that do this. You can do all the ones, right? You can do this. You can do angry. But when I see them celebrating what God is doing and enjoying their family, you know what? That contributes to my purpose. Because part of the purpose of my life is to contribute to the lives of families. You guys okay? So when I see that, I'm like, I like that. I'm not going to waste my time with this political debate over here. I'm not going to waste my time with an atheist and a Christian trying to convince each other the other's right. I'm going to walk over and I'm going to say, is there something good going on in your life? Can I celebrate that? Because that's a much better use of my time. Come on. Than it is anything else, but you got to be intentional. You got to be intentional about what battles you fight. You got to be intentional about what matters. You got to be intentional about repenting. Ooh. How many of you know repentance is not a dirty word? Do you know, and this is coming from Pastor, every single day you should repent. Say, Pastor James, what do you mean by that? Hasn't God forgiven me of everything? Yeah, He has. But if you don't repent every day, you misunderstand the word repentance. Because the word repentance in the Greek is metanoia, which means think differently. And if you think the same today as you did yesterday, if you haven't grown, if you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to show you a different way to grow, to repent, then you've wasted a day. See, repentance isn't a bad word. Repentance is a necessary process in the life of the believer. Every day I should be asking God through the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to think differently. Amen? So we should live in a constant state of repentance. Come on, right? See, we've been taught wrong about that. We've been taught we only repent when we screw up. Right? How about we repent before we screw up? No, I'm being serious. How about we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us and we listen and we obey and we're intentional about it before we ever make the mistakes? What if we preventively allow him to shape our thinking? What if we make an intentional decision to allow God to speak to us, to develop us, to grow us? You guys okay today? How much heartache would that save? How much trouble would that save us if we listened and we obeyed and we allowed him to speak early and often? And when he spoke, we said, you know what, today I decide, I have an intentional decision to change. That when we hear him speak, I'm going to put that thing down he's talking to me about and I'm going to push it as far away from me as possible. Why? Because there's only so many trips around the sun. And I don't have a lot of time to waste. Come on. See, you're not going to feel this message as much as your parents and your grandparents will. And it's because you're young and you're bulletproof. But I promise you, it was like a week ago when I was 18. It goes by so fast. And I know how many of you are sick of hearing your parents say that. It's okay, it's pastor, I won't tell them. But it goes by fast, right? If you will do now what some of us failed to do at your age, you will do things for the kingdom of God that we could have never have imagined. You will live in blessing. You will live in purpose. You will set your family on a path of success for generations to come. If you will do now what some of us failed to do. And there's a degree, parents and grandparents, where we have to repent for some of the things we did not pay attention to. Come on. Because we only get so many trips around the sun. Amen. Michelle, would you come? I need to close. See, the athlete of the ancient day had to make decisions. What if those athletes had tried to run their race with loads of extra weight? They certainly wouldn't have been able to run very far. Come on. And see, that's exactly what sinful habits and attitudes do to our walk with the Lord. They stop us in our tracks. They cause us to become ungrateful. They cause us to become critical. They cause us to become self-involved and selfish. If you don't remove them, they will eventually weigh you down and they'll take you out of your race. How many of you want to run your race? Amen? See, I don't want to be disqualified. And I'll tell you what, if you're anything like me, you've come close to being disqualified before. But today is a good day to put aside some things that have been slowing us down and to run our race reinvigorated with a new freedom. Without all that excess weight that doesn't contribute anything to our life. See, the Holy Spirit is urging us to take a good look at our lives and then remove everything that slows us down, that weighs us down, and keeps us from a life of obedience. But in order to do that, we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to be honest with God. How many of you know that's something we don't like to be? As human beings, we have a hard time being honest with ourselves, don't we? But it's okay. You'll survive it because God is good. Not only will you survive that honesty, you will be better for it. Because now God can do some things he wasn't able to do before because we were deceiving ourselves. Come on. It's like watching a child fumble trying to carry something heavy. Right? You reach down to help them. What are they? I got it. I got it. And the next thing you know, they trip, they fall, and the thing that they were carrying is all over the floor. I think God looks at us like that sometimes, don't you? Like we're walking in life and we're carrying these things he never intended for us to carry. These attitudes, these sins, these weights, these things these that we've picked up, this baggage that we've picked up along the way. And we're trying to carry it and God's trying to help us. And he's saying, if you would just put that down. I got it. Until you don't got it. Until you fall. And your knees and your elbows are skinned up. And the things you were trying to carry have made a mess everywhere. Like your life has been spilled out. But see, God is so good that even in that moment, he picks us up and he brushes us off. And he says, now go run without the weight. See, I would rather just say, let me encourage you, put the weight down before you have to fall. Because God never intended you to run like that. He intended you to run free, unhindered, every stride in purpose. Pointed in the right direction. But in order to do that, we got to put some stuff down. Friends, it's called repentance. And it's a good thing. So what do you need to put down today? What do you need to lay aside? Do you have a habit or a wrong attitude that's holding you back? Are you plagued by a fear that weighs you down and keeps you from fulfilling your potential? We have to make a quality, intentional decision today to grab hold of those unnecessary burdens and remove them permanently from our life. Put them down, push them away. And once we make that decision, you'll be able to run free, unhindered, toward what God has called you to do. Every step with intention. See, I wanted this watch because this is the watch he wore to work. And when he was on the job, every movement was filled with purpose. And it reminds me that what I do matters. And how I do it matters. And what God has called you to for your family, it matters. So why would we let anything stop us from doing what matters? Amen? Let's stand to our feet.